Isaiah chapter 55 is what we read this morning from the sacred scriptures. The text for the sermon is based on the first three. The sermon is based on the first three verses, rather, of the chapter. We read the entire chapter. This is God's inspired word. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, and let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. Text for the sermon is once again verses 1 through 3. Let me read that one more time. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation, consider with me this morning, called to a feast provided by free grace. Notice with me in the first place the nourishing feast, secondly the gracious provision, and thirdly the urgent summons. Now underlying the thought of these verses is a setting forth of a nourishing feast by the prophet. He here sets forth an earthly figure, familiar to us, an earthly figure pointing to a spiritual reality of a nourishing feast that supports a happy, healthy, flourishing life. For you note here, beloved, that the prophet not only sets forth bread and water, but also milk and wine. Bread and water first. What do bread and water together signify? Children, bread and water are the basics of earthly life and living. You know that if all you get from your parents, and you get so much more than them, but if all you get is just bread and water, then that's just, you know, the bare essentials. The bare essentials for earthly life and living. Bread. Bread is just needed for pure energy in order to live, to move, to function, especially from the external point of view. But even more basic and crucial is water. We could go without food for a week, perhaps, 2 weeks, perhaps, but we can't last very long without water. We know that. And that is because water is needed for just about every single function of the earthly body, not known to us, not perceived by us. What is water needed for earthly life? Why? Well, our blood needs water. Our heart needs water. Water is needed to transport blood throughout our entire body. Our brain needs water. Our entire body is mainly made up of water. And yes, also the process of cleaning up the body of the waste products in the body requires water. Just go 2% down below what's required. Just 2% down below water, and we start to thirst. Go 10, 15% down, and we perish and die. That's bread. And that's water. But notice, the inspired prophet goes on to talk about milk and wine. That's way beyond the essentials. Symbols are being used here, of course, by the Holy Spirit to get the point across concisely and pointedly. Milk. Children, I'm sure you get milk from your parents beyond bread and water. And milk is important. Milk was promoted by our government not all that long ago, at least from my memory. Milk is important because it contains all those wonderful nutrients and nutrition that's necessary for a healthy body, proteins, vitamins. In fact, our young babies, before they can go graduate to solid food, need mother's milk. And you children, receive milk from other animals. If you can't do dairy milk, it's goat's milk or other forms of milk that's so good for your general health and life. And then there's wine. Wine is something different altogether. Wine in the Bible especially symbolizes celebration and joy. Joy. Happiness. Joy. That's crucial also for earthly life, of course. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself demonstrated that by the very first performance of a miracle. Children, do you remember what was the first miracle that Jesus performed? He came to a wedding feast in Cana, and when the wine was all done and consumed, what did Jesus do? He turned the water into wine. At that wedding feast, a wedding without celebration and joy, and the symbol of celebration and joy is not complete. Very significantly, that's the first miracle, and it points to the invisible reality of that marriage feast, the culmination of the covenant in heaven, where we will be feasting with the Lord forever and ever, where our brother Clarence is right now. That's the significance of that feast, that miracle being the very first. The joy of our salvation is important to the Lord. That's right, this earthly figure of a nourishing feast points to an invisible spiritual reality, that of a spiritual, happy, healthy, flourishing feast. Not just a meal, not just the bread and the water, but milk and wine that meets our spiritual need and meets our spiritual need abundantly. The text speaks of a provision of abundant goodness and nutrition for all of God's dear people. For you see, beloved, man not only has a body, he has a soul. There are spiritual needs for the soul. And great and urgent are those needs. Our Lord understands that. And I'm sure we do too. Why is this great and urgent? It's great and urgent especially because we have need for all these nutrients for spiritual life, support of spiritual life, and we can't provide these things. We can't provide for what we need for our spiritual lives. We can't because we are bereft of all and every spiritual good. That's a truth that the prophet was at pains to point out to God's people, especially in the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And that's a truth, but all but forgotten, not only by the Old Testament church in Isaiah's time, but by the church world also today, in our day and age. Spiritually, we have need for good. True spiritual good. Beginning, first of all, with the most basic need of the forgiveness of sin. And then going beyond that, the blessings of eternal life. We have need, beloved, constantly in our earthly, in our pilgrimage to heaven, a renewal of the blessings of our salvation from day to day to day. And therefore, we need a meal. A very good meal. Very, very good meals. A feast that renews and replenishes, akin to our own earthly meals and our own earthly need for earthly nourishment. And this is what the Word of God makes plain to us when it speaks of bread and water and of milk and wine. We need the basics. We need the bread and water of spiritual life. We need continually and always the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. We need continually and always rest for our weary souls, troubled by sin, our sins, especially. and also troubled by the sins of others, especially whom we love, and as well, the troubles and trials of life. We need assurance, we need rest, and we need continually and always peace. Peace with God in our hearts. That's crucial, that's critical, that's basic, isn't it? For what do we have when we don't have peace within our hearts? It's basic. And then from there, we also have need for other spiritual nutrients and blessings. We need the milk and the wine of spiritual life. We need replenishment of these things. Besides the basics of forgiveness, rest, and peace, we need also a renewal of other vital ingredients for the Christian life. We need a renewal of comfort. We need a renewal of contentment. We need a renewal of humility, holiness, hope, that too. And yes, also of love and joy. The love and joy of our salvation. The love and joy of knowing God. And knowing God through knowing Jesus Christ. And that's the intimate knowledge of friendship and fellowship in the covenant. That's the secret of true happiness. Knowing God. Communing with Him ever and always through knowing and communing with Jesus Christ. We need these things. We need the milk and wine of spiritual renewal. So the question now comes and arises, how? How shall we meet these needs? Where will we find these needs? How shall we obtain them? The verses before us this morning gets at this point by the very words, by. That's repeated in verse 1, used twice in verse 1. By and labor, both words associated with obtaining. Obtaining what we need. Obtain from where? How shall we find and obtain these needs which we feel in our heart of hearts? We can't find them within ourselves. And we can't find them from others around us. They are also in need, dire need. And we deceive ourselves if we think that we're going to find these needs in vain gods of our imagination. Things which we elevate to the very height of Jehovah Himself. The prophet Isaiah addressed this point throughout the pages of the book, but especially in the first 39 chapters of the book with the Old Testament church, which sought to find their satisfaction in the meeting of their needs in vain idol gods. And that's evident from the very first chapter of the book. Verse 4, part of verse 4, our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, they have forsaken the law. Verse 4, forsaken the law. Verse 21, how is the faithful become an harlot? They've abandoned Jehovah, and they have sought to meet their needs in idol gods of their vain imagination. Now, to be sure, the text does not get at this word and word for word explicitly, but it is certainly not unclear, even if it speaks in an indirect, implied manner. For you will notice verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? They are offering their praises and worship to these idols. Idols whom they think will satisfy their spiritual needs, but these things satisfieth not. Why? Wherefore? Why are you doing this? Hearken, verse 2, diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight. See, that's joy again. Delight itself in fatness. There's no joy in idol worship. There's no true joy and satisfaction at all. Hearken unto Jehovah, eat that which is good, and let your soul joy. Joy in the joy of your salvation, and joy with an endless joy. Delight thyself in fatness. We have to realize that idol gods give no lasting satisfaction and no true joy. And we have to realize very pointedly too that we simply can't provide for what we need. The prophet expresses this thought several ways throughout the book. But yes, all our righteousnesses, including our very best works, good works, our best works, but works which are tainted with sin. We can't use any of our works to justify ourselves before Him. They are as filthy rags. We have to realize, beloved, and humbly confess that we simply can't provide for our needs. Do you, this morning, do you confess that? Are you hungering, you see, and thirsting for real spiritual food, real good spiritual food, even the nourishing feast spoken here by the prophet? To you who confess this, understand that the Lord has made gracious provision of this feast for you. For you. And that's precious. That's precious, especially because we should understand that the provision of this feast is not for everyone. It's certainly not for everyone in the world. Certainly not. And yes, mindful of the prophet's setting in Isaiah, it's also not for everyone in the church. It's not for the Esau's of the church. It's not for those who have no love for God, who are walking in sin impenitently. It's not for them. And it's not for people walking in sin and therefore who are not hungering and thirsting for true righteousness, yea, for any spiritual good. The provision of this feast is clearly for those who have need and see their need and sense their need, even rather acutely, for it. It's for such who thirsteth, that's the text. It's not for everyone. It's for those who thirst for spiritual drink. The drink that truly quenches and satisfies that thirst is for those who have been brought low. 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 How low? It's for one who confesses before the Lord. I have no money. I have no money, and therefore I have no money for this feast and this nutrition which I need. It's for such ones that the Lord provides this food, this feast, this nourishing feast. And I trust, beloved, that that's you and that's me this morning. After having examined ourselves in the past week. And we should realize, beloved, that this is a gracious provision by God. God graciously provides a wonderful, nourishing feast for those who are hungry and thirsty for it. And it's gracious. And it's gracious from two points of view. Number one, it is gracious in that it is completely free. We don't pay for it. We have no money, remember that? We can't pay for it. He provides it completely free. The text speaks of this truth when it calls us to buy this feast without money and without price. God provides this feast by his free grace. And it's gracious, number two, in that its provision is completely undeserved by you and I. We're sinners. We've forfeited the right to every and any good gift from God. All we deserve is his just and righteous judgment and punishment. That's what we deserve to get in and of ourselves. But instead, we get the promises of the promise of this wonderful, nourishing feast. It's God who provides this gracious gift of a feast at a costly, costly price. The sacrifice of his dear son. What is this feast? One word. Christ. Christ is this feast. He's the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of his people. We're in chapter 55 in the book of Isaiah, but just two chapters prior, God sets forth his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as his suffering servant. The suffering servant of Jehovah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He's arisen with healing in his wings. And beloved, we're not merely healed, but nourished. Nourished. And Jesus makes that plain in the New Testament by identifying himself as the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He is the bread, the water, the wine, the milk of spiritual life. He's the bread of life. Jesus provides all. In Jesus Christ, we find all the nutrients that we need, the basic needs of assurance, of forgiveness, rest and peace, and every other need that we have deep down inside. Maybe someone doesn't know your need. Maybe nobody knows your deepest need. But he knows. And he provides. He's the bread of life. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 51, I am the living bread. Eternal life is found in him. I am the living bread, the source of eternal life, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It's Jesus himself. Through his prophet, who extends the urgent summons to us this morning to come and partake of this feast. This feast of his salvation and eternal life. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. He's paid for it. He's paid the price for you and for me. The call here is nothing but a call to the gospel call to believe, to put your trust in Jesus, to let go and let God, to embrace Jesus Christ. It also means that we are therefore sorry for our sins and repent in dust and ashes from them. And it's an urgent call. Boys and girls, do you see that? That why is it urgent? Jesus calls us to come. That command is urgent, that summons all by itself is urgent enough, but notice it's repeated, that word, three times. Come, come, come. Won't you come? In particular this morning, come. And to come to Jesus this morning is to feed on him means for us that we heed this urgent summons and call of Jesus by coming to the table of our Lord. A sacrament which symbolizes that nourishing feast for us, which will be culminated in heaven one day. That's right, it's the nourishment and feast of the covenant. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In other words, he renews and he confirms within our hearts that everlasting covenant of grace with us. Covenant which will be culminated in heaven above, in that feast. He will renew and he renews and confirms in our hearts these things through, in and through the feast that he provides for us this morning, along our earthly pilgrimage and way, with our peculiar needs. He meets us at our point of need and he calls us to partake of it. And we feed on Jesus Christ by faith when we eat of that bread and drink of that wine of the supper by faith. We're eating and drinking Jesus Christ himself. Come, won't you come? The incentive for you and for me to come is that our needs will be met, not merely sufficiently, but abundantly. And we will be satisfied. And our soul shall delight in fatness. So come, eat and drink Jesus Christ at this feast, so graciously provided for you. And be blessed by him. Amen.